Are you ready to sell more books? I'm Brian Cohen.
And I'm Claire Taylor. If you're ready to get your books into the hands of the right readers
and make some more money,
you've come to the right podcast.
And now it's time to talk tips, tricks, and news to help you sell more of your books. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sell More Book Show, episode 495. I'm Brian Cohen from Best Page Forward and the 5-Day Author Ad Profit Challenge, joined by Claire Taylor from FFS Media. Future Claire, you're still processing the Liberated Writer Retreat.
I think generally it was just a massive success.
I love it. I love it. Recording in advance is fun.
Right now, I'm actually coming to you from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Man, you look like on the video that you're in the exact same place.
Oh yeah, I pack all this up and move it with me anytime I travel.
I almost had a spit tape. Oh my gosh, that's awesome. I hope that your luggage holds up well.
It does. You know, it's a little bit of an added expense to take the giraffe with me everywhere, but she deserves her own seat.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. 100%. That's where the points come from, just bringing giant stuffed animals with you. It's how you get those points. So we don't have a previous week's question. All I have to share is my challenge is coming up, authorsadvertise.com. Claire, you've got your Liberated Writer course coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that starts next Monday from when this airs. So you have a few days to sign up if you haven't already, or at least go read about it. Go read liberatedwriter.com. See if it's something you want to do. If it doesn't work for you this time, I will probably be doing it again. So just keep it in the back of your mind. And of course, email me if you have any questions about it.
Love it. Let's go right into today's top story. Audiobook exposure. Spotify will soon be offering free audiobooks to paid subscribers starting in the coming months, but there have been no details on how authors and publishers will be paid for the work, reports Ann Steele of the Wall Street Journal. The new plan will allow Spotify's paid subscribers to listen up to 20 hours of audiobook content for free each month. Book and Publishing, or Book Plus Publishing, reports that subscribers will be able to access the audiobooks directly in the app, since listeners won't have to purchase them separately, which keeps Apple from taking a 30% commission for downloads. Spotify's audiobook program has been hampered by the 30% Apple tax, but this new system would allow users to choose books in the Spotify app instead of switching to a web browser. Spotify has recently added 300,000 audiobook titles from both independent authors and major publishers and has announced its ambition to become the world's leading audio platform. Quote, the pilot program will offer a variety of audiobooks, but the titles are still being finalized, end quote, reports Good eReader. When details become clear about how authors and publishers will be paid for this, we'll share them on the show. Claire, what are your thoughts? Is this going to be, just like the title man said, audiobook exposure? You're just getting the exposure.
Well, for now, it sounds like it's a very limited group. They're probably working predominantly with traditionally published authors and books, and they're probably negotiating some good deals. Mm. And they're going to keep it small at first is my guess from looking at this stuff. It's not like if you opted into Spotify, you're immediately going to have your books available there. I don't get the sense that that's what's going on. I think this is almost like a pilot program to see how much they can get away with. What would be successful for everybody? I think it's going to start with 20 hours of audiobook content for each month, and I suspect that that will change before long.
Yeah.
So all of this, I don't know how much I buy the line about, well, Apple's making us do this because of the Apple tax. I think Spotify has been moving this way for a while.
Sure. Yeah.
So I'm always going to start from a place of skepticism when one massive corporation is saying it's victimized by another massive corporation in some way, or like, it's not fair, so we have to do it this way. It's like, okay. so yeah, I don't love the way this is headed, but I also feel like this has been the inevitable direction. What about you, Brian?
Right. No, I feel the same way. I mean, thinking about how Amazon has gotten around the tax, it's by having credits and Audible credits. And maybe at some point, Spotify will move to a credit system. And that'll be one of the ways that it replaces it. It's either going to do that, or it is going to say, well, you don't get paid for when people use their free thing, or you get paid a pittance, which, like you said, is kind of the direction audio's been heading in. And so I think you're right to assume that, hey, it probably won't include indie books at the start, but let's see how this develops. We do not know. And I work with a couple of traditionally published authors, a couple of hybrid authors who negotiate with their agents, negotiate for audio rights. And maybe this is a part of it, because those folks don't mind. They already got their check. The check's cleared. If the book's being seen for free somewhere, they don't mind as much. I mean, maybe they would be annoyed it's not working to earn out on their advance there, but they're not going to be as frustrated as maybe an indie who paid out of pocket a couple $1,000s for an audiobook narrator, and then they are getting paid, you know, around the price that people were getting paid with the Audible Romance Unlimited that was a couple of years back. So hopefully it'll work out for indies, but I don't know. We're going to have to see how it develops.
Yeah, I think if you are an audiobook narrator, this might be a time to start getting creative, because with the increased quality of AI-generated narration, yep, and the likely decrease in revenue for authors from their audiobooks, authors are not going to have much of a choice in, yeah, you know, how much they just, it's going to be almost impossible for a lot of authors to afford to get an audiobook version with any hope of earning back on it.
Right.
And, you know, I know that there's some animosity from the narrators towards authors who choose to do something like AI. I get that, but I think it's so misguided, because yeah, authors are also just trying to hustle. If there's villains here, it's not the authors or the narrators.
Yeah. Your frustration is misplaced. It should be on a corporation.
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of corporations, Claire, what will it take for an audiobook store to compete with Audible?
I don't think that any audiobook store really wants to be competing directly with Audible. I don't think that they want to, it would be, or that it would be a super smart decision to try and out Audible Audible. But something like what Spotify is doing with, you know, the sort of free listening hours and that sort of thing each month, more of a sort of streaming model, less a credit model, is probably the way to compete. And I think that's what Spotify is seeing. But I would say that for something like Libro.fm, I think, yeah, Libro.fm can compete with Audible because they offer something fundamentally different in that they're paying indie bookstores when you buy from them. So I think that that might be the way to compete, is to play up on Audible's weaknesses, which that is that it's, you know, part of this large corporation that a lot of people take issue with.
I can think of another way. Do a quality control check that takes less than 24 hours.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah, that would be something. But good answer there, Claire.
Oh, thanks, Brian. Do you have a hot potato for me? Let's see.
Oh, yes.
Will Spotify's new free audiobook offering increase the popularity of audiobooks?
A long time ago on this program, Mr. Jim Kukral, a former co-founder of the Sell More Books show, I mean, he'll always be the co-founder, said the hardest thing to do is to change people's behavior. You're not necessarily, just because Spotify is going to be offering free audiobooks up to 20 hours, doesn't mean people who are just there to listen to music are suddenly going to listen to audiobooks. It's kind of fun, but people are not necessarily going to go about their day in a different way just because there's this new offering. A few will, but I doubt that in any significant way, this will increase the popularity of audiobooks, unfortunately.
Fair enough.
Womp, womp. So, pew, I hear something. Claire, what is that?
Crackle.
I think I hear an old-timey gunfight.
Transformer exploding.
Oh, yeah, it's a Michael Bay movie. Okay, so... lightning has struck. So, Claire, I'm going to start things off with bookshop.org, which boasts 1,890 bookstores selling on its platform. It's going to be beta testing ebook sales in November. It's only been doing print books to this point, according to the hot sheet. What do you think it would take for Bookshop to be able to compete with a retail giant like Amazon when it comes to ebook sales?
I think with Bookshop adding ebooks as an option, bookshop.org, I think it's going to come down to a lot of DRM technicalities because that is the main thing that keeps Amazon customers unhappy. Right. If you download a book on Kindle and you decide not to use a Kindle anymore, you can't take that because it's got the digital rights management.
Yeah.
Yeah, on it. So that is, I think that readers would like it if bookshop.org did not have strict DRM. But I think if bookshop.org is going to stick around, they're going to have to add DRM. And they're going to have to create their own device that reads on it.
Yeah.
And you know, we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong because I haven't thought a whole lot about this, frankly. But yeah, I think that they are going to have to fill that sort of gap for readers. And they are going to have to pull readers from Kindle by and large and try and keep them.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes a ton of sense.
All right, Brian, can a dedicated bookstore compete with a retail giant that sells everything?
So a dedicated bookstore can absolutely compete with a retail giant that sells everything because it can be local, it can be a community space, it can be something that is a place where people come. It's not going to compete in the same kind of way. It of course, it's not going to make $1 billion. But can it compete as in stay in business and keep its people gainfully employed? Yes, but it's going to be hard because running any kind of business takes a lot of leadership, a lot of hard decisions, and a good culture. Even in a small store, you need a good culture. How many bookstores have you walked into and you've seen the people working there and kind of how they're talking about things and you're like, I don't know if I want to buy my books here. And that's because it's really hard to hire the right people and set up the right kind of store. And so it is a challenge, but it's not just because of a big retail giant that sells everything. It's because running a business and running a good business and running a happy business that people want to come to is difficult. And that is what it's going to take.
Totally. Yeah. I'm thinking of the local bookstores in Austin and they all have something else going on. It's not like, right, I want to come buy a book and leave. There's a vibe.
Yeah.
One of my favorites is a wine, like wine cafe and bookstore. And I'm like, yes, I will buy a book from you and a bottle of wine.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah, it's competing in different ways. I think that's great.
Yeah. So, Claire, I love this because we haven't talked about this in a while, but we definitely have before. What is a common money myth when it comes to being an author?
There is this pervasive myth about money among the author community that once you start making it, you will never stop making it, right? Oh, yeah. You're like, oh, I'm starting to make money. Things are going good. That means it's just smooth sailing from here on out. And unfortunately, that's not the case. There were a lot of people who started making a lot of money in the early, you know, KDP days, and sort of coasted on that and assumed that they were making the money they were making because of something they had done rather than the, you know, they got lucky getting in at the right time. They unintentionally nabbed a very niche market that no one knew about, or a hot market. And then the money starts to go down. And because they hadn't been learning skills along the way for marketing, the panic sets in. So yeah. That's not to judge anyone. I think that's a mistake that anyone could have made. But I want to encourage people to not get too comfortable if you start making a little bit of money, because it can go away. So you want to keep up to date with what's going on in the industry, trends. Not so much that you need to be changing directions every, you know, month or two, but just to try and keep up with things so that when the money does start to go down, because it will, between books or, you know, there's some big industry shift, you feel like you have the resilience and the tools to continue to keep going and to get back to where you were, if not higher.
I love that, because we've all been there. It's like something goes well and it's like, well, I'm just so great. This was all me. But we got to be a little more modest there, because it leaves you really, really vulnerable.
There are a lot of factors in success of any sort of monetary kind. And then once the ego gets its little paws in all of that, it gets super messy and complicated. But really, I just, you know, learning to believe that if you could do it once, you can probably do it again. And you know some first steps is just going to get you so much further.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, Brian. In fiction, series tend to be more successful. How can series be successful with nonfiction?
When you're doing nonfiction, you absolutely can write in a series, but I think most nonfiction authors are going to get a whole lot more out of thinking about what's the next product, because you don't just have to sell books. You can sell courses, coaching, services, other things. And people have made big time careers off of this. I think that if you were to think about any additional products at the back of your book as being part of the read through calculation you do when you're calculating what is my series sales like, and you're counting $100 coaching sessions or whatever that you might sell, if you count that, it changes the game, because it means, oh, wow, I actually can make a lot more money than I thought. And so I can spend more money on my ads to get my books out there more. And so it really can change everything if you think differently about the way that a nonfiction series can work.
Totally. That's right. And good advice for me to hear.
I'm here for you, Claire. That was all you. To finalize this here lightning round, Claire, when you have a problem with your book or one of your books, do you use a lifeline? Do you connect with somebody else? Or do you go it alone?
Oh, man. Okay, so I have had problems with books in the past, getting stuck or not knowing what to do, what decisions to make creatively, or how to package it, that sort of thing. My first trick is usually to give myself some space to think about it. I am generally a pretty fast thinker. I can make a lot of decisions based on my gut pretty quickly. And then when that is not happening, I have the fallback of like, okay, I'm going to go like go for a walk, or, you know, sometimes I have strokes of genius in the shower, right? So go withdraw, do a little of thinking. And then when that doesn't work, or if that doesn't work, then I usually will reach out to people.
Yeah.
And I try not to wait too long to reach out, because sometimes I just need to reach out to complain.
Yeah.
To moan a little bit about it. And that can help blow off some of that emotional, energy that is sometimes clouding my thinking. Or it can open up new ideas where I'm like, oh yeah, that is like a thing. Like that emotion was there. It was trying to tell me something. And now that I've expressed it, I can hear it. It's a process, and I'll listen to people. I'll ask for advice. Sometimes I'll ask someone to jump on a call with me and just brainstorm, but it always gets there. And in the end, I always make the decision I probably was going to make from the start.
Yeah, I hear that. And great advice there. I think that everyone's going to have a different process for this, but
for sure.
But if you always need a lifeline, then don't even hesitate. Go get it. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, do what you got to do, whatever it takes. As long as it's legal, or you don't get caught if it's illegal.
I didn't say anything. So what should our question of the week be, Claire?
I think we should look at the audiobook thing. I know it's kind of fraught, but I think it's a developing situation in our industry. And I think that this news will be impactful and possibly change people's plans for audiobooks.
Yeah, I mean, how about we ask, what do you think is going to be the next step that Spotify takes to try to compete with Audible?
I love that. I can't wait to hear, frankly, what people think the next step is.
Yeah, same here, because I don't know.
I don't know. Let's all just, take a shot in the dark here together.
Love it. You can answer the question of the week over at the Sell More Book Show After Party or at sellmorebookshow.com for episode 495. Claire, liberatedwriter.com. So many people are going there because this is me affirming for your future self. So many people are going there and signing up for the course. And what is one of the best things that's going to happen for them because they did it?
They're going to leave the 5 weeks with sustainable practices, because it's not enough to just learn the concepts. Learning the concepts is 20%. Actually putting it into practice on a regular basis is 80%. So you will leave the course with practices that work for you, where you are at, based on your motivation and where you want to be.
Love it. Liberatedwriter.com. And my challenge, last one of the year, something like the 15th or 16th we've done, at authorsadvertise.com. So, Claire, always a pleasure talking to you while you are actually somewhere else.
Yep, it's great. Minneapolis, the weather's amazing.
So hot. Can't believe it.
Yeah, October has just been one of the best months of my life, frankly.
Love it. Love it. See, it's all going to happen now.
It's almost your birthday, isn't it? That's coming up this
true.
Week.
October 13th. Feel free to send me something. Talking to all the listeners.
The eclipse. Yeah. There's a solar eclipse in Central Texas that goes right over us that day. So.
Ooh, cool.
I know.
That's exciting. Yeah.
Astronomy nerding out. So that will be 2 days from now. I'm so excited.
The veneer has slid completely off of this show's timeliness. Well, Claire, thank you as always for a great show.
Oh, back at you.
Oh, thank you. I look forward to the next one for episode 496. For Claire, I'm Brian. Have a great week of bookselling, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Sell More Books Show. Visit the website at www.sellmorebookshow.com for detailed show notes and subscription information, or to send us news or comments for use on the show. Also, please take a moment to subscribe to the show and leave us a review. Thank you very much for listening, and happy book selling!